Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 8 of Bear Belief. Hello, Jessica.
Deepest regards, Gabriel.
Oh, my God. Deepest regards. Wow. If you are still there after that, thank you. So today's topic is Lent. So last time we talked about St. Valentine's Day, it was a little bit more of a fluffier kind of episode, but this week we're diving right in there in the spirituality immediately. Jessica, what is Lent?
Well, it's not the thing you do with your like money or a toaster that you give a friend. I lent that. It's not that.
Nothing to do with money. All right.
So, I had this lovely definition from a curriculum I had from the Whole People Guide. So just bear with me because it has all the details about the season of Lent. Fair enough. So Lent is 40 days, and it's from Ash Wednesday to Holy Saturday. The English word Lent is derived from the word lengthen, because in the Northern Hemisphere, Lent takes place as the days lengthen into spring. Easter is the most important day of the church year. It's the day, right?
The day.
And
in Catholic times, at some point, if you missed your Easter services, they wouldn't even let you get buried. Cemetery.
Why
they were really strict about like the main kind of thing.
The big high feast days, yeah.
You had to go.
So on that note, the resurrection is the focal point of the Christian faith, like a keystone supporting an ark. Without it, everything else crumbles. Easter is not just one day, but a season of celebration. We begins on Easter Day and extends for 50 days to Pentecost, hence Penta. Easter is the oldest festival of the church year. Christmas wasn't celebrated until the 4th century. Every Sunday is a little Easter, a day of celebration and Sabbath, the last day of the week, to the first day, and the day of Jesus' resurrection.
Like a little Easter in a sense. So you're kind of celebrating the resurrection and all this stuff all over again.
Well, yeah, you're coming together as a community of faith.
Which would make sense because you're doing the Holy Communion.
Communion, and you're
creating the
whole story. And exactly.
No, I never realized that. Wow, that's interesting.
In the beginning... Years of the Christian church, there was no commemoration of Good Friday. So that's the Friday before Easter. For at least the first 2 centuries, the focus was Easter Day. Christians met for worship on Saturday at 6 p.m. and continued in fasting, prayer, and meditation through the night until 3 a.m. on Sunday, when they celebrated the Eucharist. Later, fasting was extended to include Friday, a period of 40 hours to commemorate the time Jesus' body laid in the tomb. Later still, the period of fasting was extended to include all of the Holy Week. By the year 600, the fast was extended to 40 days prior to Easter, not including Sundays, a time which corresponds to the 40 days Jesus spent in the wilderness in preparation for his public ministry. In time, many other church members voluntarily undertook for their own self-discipline this 40 days of penitence and fasting, reflecting on their baptismal vows, and at Easter, joining with these folks to renew their baptismal promises. The Easter Vigil provides a yearly opportunity for all of us to renew our baptismal vow. Now, the Easter Vigil is the Saturday before Easter.
Oh, yeah, because I remember we would do the whole thing with the candles.
Yeah, and the big flame and the fire and stuff. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, and that symbolism is always there at the baptism as well.
Yeah, because it's the sharing the light. You're part of that light.
And you'll see my baptismal candle is right there on the thing. It's still there. My mom sent it to me as part of my was it my Christmas gift? No, it was my birthday gift last year. She sent me a bunch of stuff, and that was one of the things that was in there.
So in Lent, the color purple is used, indicating a time of repentance. Some churches use a deep red on Passion Palm Sunday. So that's the beginning of Holy Week and throughout Holy Week. The cross may be veiled in black on Good Friday. And that's usually when everything from the altar is taken down as well.
Yeah, we used to do that in my church.
Alleluias are traditionally omitted from songs and prayers during Lent in order to make the joyful Alleluias of Easter more meaningful. Lent is also a time of time to change the mood of sanctuary through its decorations, as I just said. Flowers are not used. Candlesticks and crosses may be of simple wood. Banners and vestments are simple in design and material. Of all the seasons of the year, Lent has probably been the most abused. It has, in certain times and places, become a period of excessive introspection, empty abstinence from tidbits of affluence and the enjoyment of the gloom of self-denial. We need to rediscover Lent's rich tradition. The purpose of fast is not just to do without something as an end of it in itself. Its purpose is to free up time, energy, and money, etc., which can be put towards fresh use for a new purpose. Lent is a time for taking stock, both of ourselves and our society. It is a time to reflect about how we implement the values of peace, community, and equality of all before God. Are we in solidarity with the crucified one who was faithful to God's way, even though when the cost was high as death on a cross? Or are we more identified with the institutional structures and authorities which crucified him, and the principalities of powers which continue to crucify innocent people in our own day?
Oh, wow. That couldn't be more apropos. Yeah. What's happening around us now?
So I just want to give credit. This is from the Whole People of God curriculum, and it's the teacher resource that they kind of give you to read over. But yeah, I really identify that. So usually what people do is they'll give up something for Lent, and they'll be like, I'm going to drink less coffee. I'm going to eat better, sure. I'm going to give up chocolate. And then there was, I think it was kind of around the time of the millennial, people were trying to sort of switch that up and take on a good habit. You know, like, I'm going to go to the gym more. I'm going to read more. I'm going to, like, do something good versus giving up something.
It's all very personal. It's not even.
No. Right. And so again, what.
And if you think of, like, the symbolism of, like, Christ suffering in a desert for 40 days, that wasn't about him. That was about doing things for others.
And reflecting.
It's like, it's not.
And the story that brings that all up is the temptation, right? With the devil, like, hey, change the stone into bread. And again, this power isn't about me. It's about serving.
And when you think of what the whole point of Easter is, he's not sacrificing himself for himself. He's sacrificing himself for others. So you're kind of missing the point a little bit, I think, if this is what your approach to Lent is. And it becomes like, I remember when we were kids, and like, I feel like Lent was a bigger thing that people used to do more of in back, you know, 40, 50 years ago. And, but it was largely performative. Like, what are you doing really if you're giving up bubblegum? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so you're not eating chips. What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah. And I think there's power in what we do, right? So I'm not going to sort of mention names, but there was one person in leadership in the West Coast, and they had decided to walk throughout their diocese and apologize to every Indigenous group and ask for permission to keep the churches there in those territories. And if that Indigenous group had said, no, we want it out, he was prepared to be like, we're closing down.
Wow.
You know, I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
But it's crazy. But at the same time, it's very aware of what's happening.
Right. But but in a great way. Right. Like this is what we were talking about in How Do We Get Involved episode. Right. And it's not really taking a positive stance for reconciliation.
It's like the opposite of the whole colonizer mentality.
Right. And then there was another person in leadership that says, well, I'm giving up one-use plastics for Lent. Wow. And I'm like,
that's
okay, a good thing.
Quite the sacrifice.
Right.
You can't see my face, but I'm making a face.
So again, it's not a bad thing because you're bringing environmental awareness.
That's not the point. No, it might.
But yeah, like, and I think that's what I liked about this is like, to what magnitude is this having in your life? You know, like, are you really trying to make change? Are you really trying to address an issue? Are you really, or are you just going through the motions?
Formative.
You know, but I think we do that because we've sort of been taught to do that. Yeah. And we were talking about this earlier when I had arrived, but I think sort of in my role on this podcast is sort of, I feel sometimes that it's sort of defending sort of mm-hmm. faith and Christianity and this and that. But I really don't, right? In my ministry, it's so rooted in tradition, but it's understanding what that's about
yeah.
and what impact that has.
More like the why than the...
You know, and intentionality,
yeah.
you know, just don't go through the motions of it or, you know, like, because again, like I led a group and they were discerning if they wanted to remain open or close the church and stuff. And they're like, well, I just don't want you to be alone on a Sunday service. And I'm like, and I feel guilty when no one's here. I'm like, that's not the point of church.
Mm.
That's not the point at all. It's not about me. It's about you taking Sabbath, taking time to rest, taking time to refuel, to connect to that source of love, to that holy other, however you identify with that. And I think Lent is, again, another practice to sort of be like, hey, what am I doing spiritually in my life? And how can I deepen that in myself or within the community? Or is there something that's standing out or calling to me? And we've talked about this in the New Year's resolution one episode, right? Sort of bringing on that New Year's Eve habit. And one cool thing I read about was sort of the practice of winter. It's very seasonal, right? So in winter, and this is why some in that tradition say that New Year's resolutions don't work, it's because it's that time of rest. We're not supposed to be taking on new growth. That's a springtime thing. So winter should be a time of just thinking and reflecting and staying like, we can't do anything in this northern hemisphere.
Boy, is that the truth.
Right? So, but maybe we're not supposed to be, you know, modern society, we have all this technological innovation. We can drive, we have snow plows. No, naturally we're supposed to be
quiet. And it's true.
Quiet.
Back in the day, like that's what people used winter for, to like
right?
slowly prepare for the spring, get your...
And that's why you worked so hard over the summer and got all that. And that's when the energy is about growth and innovation. So I think this is what kind of I like about Lent is that we're, because usually like this year it starts February 18th, Ash Wednesday, but people start thinking about Shrove Tuesday when we all sit there in our pancake suppers and no one's thought about what they want to reflect upon or
pancakes. So is pancake supper a thing? I've never heard of this.
Yeah. So it's with Shrove Tuesday. And so I was just reading because I didn't really actually know what Shrove was about. So it's the end of Shrovetide. And usually on that Tuesday before Shrove Tuesday was when you'd go for your final confession and let go of all sort of your sin and that. So to be in this reflective moment for new birth or resurrection.
Okay. I've never heard of Shrove Tuesday.
Right.
We would refer to it in French as Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras or Fat Tuesday.
Fat, yeah.
So what people would do because they were fasting would just load up on those carbs and fat.
Which is kind of dumb when you think about it. If you're
defeating modern nutrition.
Yeah, but that's not what I mean. Like, if the whole point is to do a sacrifice and to, like, go through something and you're pigging out 10 minutes before, like, that's not really the point. I don't know. I feel
like... There goes your dopamine.
I think it's a little hypocritical, you know? Yeah. So what do you think Lent should look like in modern times?
I think it goes back to these sort of things we were talking about in our how do we be involved in the world episodes. Like, what is my calling? Like, am I being called to something else? Am I, you know, needing to learn something? Am I, you know, is there a habit that, or not even just a habit, but is there something within my environment or within my personage that I need to transform?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because...
So you don't really buy into the whole sacrifice thing or the... Because I think there's spiritual value in some of that sometimes. Like when, like there's a reason why there's a lot of religions and a lot of rituals where fasting is part of...
Well, this is teaching discipline.
Yeah.
Right? Like if I'm fasting for these many days, and there's in many religious groups, like Ramadan, right? Like there's fasting, accept it.
Yeah, which is often compared to Lent, which it's not, but it's...
But there's that reflection and I'm sort of that sacrifice.
I feel like the Muslims take their Ramadan way more seriously
than our Lent.
Than a Christian takes.
For sure. But then there's like the Orthodox Church. And I don't know if it's an Orthodox tradition or just this family, but I've heard both is the fast is different. So like 1 week, it'll be like the red meats. 1 week is like the chicken and then we get to fish. And then so then the veggies and then by Holy Week, you're fasting. Like you really are fasting. So again, it's that letting go of stuff, right? And learning discipline without just proximity, right? Like I can easily open my fridge. I can easily do this. But how do we learn Yeah, that spirit, a spiritual practice.
Boy, do we need discipline these days. I think a real sacrifice would be to put your phone away. that would really be a sacrifice. And the spoiler alert, I'm not putting my phone away. It's not happening.
But again, it's not for just cause, you know, like, oh, well, this would be better, or, you know, but really dig deep, you know. And I think it's about, like, where do I want to be on my spiritual journey? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's what Sundays are about, is coming to that place where I can just take every other responsibility and rest from that and just commune and be it mindfulness, like people do mindfulness sort of within themselves, be it like meditation, be it whatever. But we do not rest enough. And it's taking that time to do that. And that's what practicing religion is about. You're gonna, oh, shoot, I'm hungry. Okay, I can do it again, you know? And it's learning and practicing and getting stronger in a religious discipline or a spiritual discipline. You know, some people might want to go on a nature walk every evening, or like, I want to commune more with the environment, or I want to do that, you know? But I think that's what it should be more about, is what is the spiritual practice that I either want to learn about or strengthen versus just
chocolate. Because I remember, like, we wouldn't eat fish on Fridays. That was like a thing that no meat. It was the meatless Fridays kind of thing. So you would eat, like, well, other people ate fish. I washed them because I can't do fish. Like, there's no amount of spirituality in the world that will make me eat a lobster. Like, it's just not going to happen. And if you're eating a lobster, you're not really sacrificing anyway, but that's a whole other story. Anyway, so and I grew up in a house where we would have fish on Fridays. There was no meat on the table. And in my elementary school would serve fish on Fridays as well, which is kind of interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, because we were we had catechism in school. I remember when it was taken out. It was after I'd been through the whole thing. So that influence stayed, you know, all of those lunch ladies that were there from the good old days, like, they kept serving us. And by the time I was in high school, there would have been meat options also, but the main meals were always fish based on Fridays. And you could set your calendar by it. If there was fish at the cafeteria, you knew it was Friday. And it wasn't,
yeah, no,
but even that, yeah, but you laugh, but that's what it was. It was like those highline fish.
Nice and cheap, accessible.
And when you think about it, like, is that really a sacrifice to eat freaking highliner, like, fake white fish that's been battered and fried and served in a bunch of tartar sauce with a side of fried fries? Tartar sauce, like, Maritime, and the Maritimes know how to do tartar sauce. I will give a look at it. Tartar sauce is good. Even the cafeteria tartar sauce was good. So, like, and you're eating this with, like, French fries and gravy and whatever the heck, maybe even poutine. Like, that's, you know, like, you're doing it wrong. Like, I'm going to fully judge you as an atheist going, like, that is crazy. Like, the same way that, like, I went out with a Muslim guy during Ramadan, who would not perform his boy-friendly duties in the boudoir because it was Ramadan, you know? And then, but then would do all these other things that was, like, you know, kind of considered haram in the Muslim faith. And then I'd be thinking, like, you won't do them during Ramadan, but you had no problem doing them, like, 2 weeks ago before Ramadan started. And I'm pretty sure that's haram too. So, you know, so I don't know. This is where, like, as an atheist, I find the whole, not mythology, but the whole culture around these types of things a little kooky. I get what's trying to be done, but I think the messaging is either misinterpreted or it's just, I don't know. It's kind of like people are pacifying themselves in a certain way by convincing themselves that they're doing it because they're doing all these things, and that's where I'm like, yeah, whatever. And it's just, even back in the day when I was very religious, like, the whole Lent thing wasn't for me. And
I mean, I remember, I don't remember what it was, it's so impactful, right? But I remember completing a Lenten task, like whatever I wanted to do, I did it.
Intent?
Like my Lenten promise, my Lenten task.
I see.
Of what I wanted to do. And I felt accomplished. I was like, wow, I actually like didn't, I think it was just eating McDonald's because it was right in the metro and I could grab it and go, right? Or fast foods. And I
nothing more tempting than a nice hot chicken nugget.
Right there. Or the cheeseburgers. Those are my weak points, right? Oh, because it's fast. It's right there. It doesn't really get too messy.
It's just the nuggets for me.
I can see that too. I like those though. I usually get like the 4-pack with that. But anyways. And so, yeah, you feel accomplished. Like, hey, I actually completed this. Mm. But I think within a week, I went back and grabbed McDonald's fast, you know? So did it really change or did it show me I could be disciplined?
But that's my... So, yeah, it is kind of showing that you can be disciplined. So I guess that's something like practicing discipline. There is value in that. But in terms of like, what does it do for you? What does it do for anybody else? What does it do for your spirituality? Because you didn't have a cheeseburger for like, 8 weeks? Not even 6 weeks, 6 weeks. Like,
right.
And I'm not sure I really get it, you know?
And that's why I think we need to go, as I say, get into intention. Like, why is this important?
Yeah.
Is it important that I don't eat that shrimp? I don't know, but maybe it is. Maybe, like, this is a really bad thing that I really feel crappy about, but I'm not doing anything about. You know, but I think that's a personal boundary.
And I think, again, it's one of those things, like when it comes down to religion, like, and they don't want you questioning it. I think a lot of times they want you to just kind of
just do it. Got to do it.
Because this is always how we've been. And we told you, you can't eat fish on Friday, then shut up, or can't eat meat on Friday, then shut up and eat your fish. But like, there has to be a reason. Like there has to be like a historical reason and I'm sure there is. And I'm sure my mom she's listening to this right now, is probably screaming at the thing going, I told you 6 times why this was.
Well, but even think about it, right? Like if you think about the whole caste system that many of these sort of Christian faiths sort of came in the Western world, right? Like a lot of the people that were going to church were poor and didn't really have much food.
That's right.
Anyway, so I'm already fasting, bro.
That is so true.
You know?
So true. Like, are we really... When I lived in Burkina Faso, Burkina Faso was a majority Muslim population, and they were very serious about the Ramadan, and they had so little already in terms of what their diets, and a lot of the people that was in my circle over there had very limited means, and part of their fasting was also like no water during the day.
Oh.
And the year I was there, it happened that Ramadan was in the hot season. So we had temperatures that would go well over 40 degrees Celsius for most of the day. And it's like a 12-hour, and the sun would be up for over 12 hours. So we're talking sub-Saharan temperatures, really hot. And you can't drink water. And people would pass out. Like, people would pass out in the street kind of thing. And then it was, like, a big deal and blah, 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 blah. And then I'm like, this is not what it's about. And I used to think it was so crazy. Like, from my heathenistic eyes or, like, my white person eyes that's coming from this place of privilege, looking at these people who are doing this, who... not even really that the religious, but the way the community is built over there, like everybody was kind of like in on it. And if you're not following the Ramadan the right way, well, then you're not measuring up to probably their Islamic measuring stick or whatever, how they did it. But like,
yeah. And I think you've hit it on the head. There is the word sacrifice, right? So if you look at sort of the ancient Jewish traditions and a lot of the Western traditions, like you would go to temple and give sacrifice to atone for this, that, or to pray for this. And you know, you get the burnt sacrifice to you know, the smoke goes up to heaven and God's going to like appease your prayers because you've sacrificed this thing. And so I think that's where like Jesus is called the Lamb of God. And it was that act of atonement. You know, the Christian faith has continued to be like, well, Jesus made this huge sacrifice, so we have to sacrifice all this stuff, and you can't because you're never a good person. No.
But wasn't that the point of the sacrifice, was to alleviate us from all of these sins. And
that no matter what we do, we cannot be separated from the love of God. But the church has kind of weaponized that. It's like, oh, are you, you know, you're a bit bad, horrible, sinful, shameful, bad, bad person. And then they had different levels, like your corporal sin, your moral sin. I forget the name of that. There's, you know, they had all these different levels of sin. And if everybody was doing what God had instructed, like the social justice, the loving each other, like all the right things, that the second coming, the body of Christ, because we are the body, the physical body, would be resurrected, right? And we have that sort of utopia state among us. And she had this wonderful thing about it, is that in this philosophy, it's not just about people doing the right thing, but it's about the powers, like, turning away from that power, you know? So I forget which part of the sort of reconciliation or the translation is, it's about, it translates to turning into the light.
Oh, wow.
So instead of staying in that sort of dark place, you're turning into the light.
And that is a common theme in Christianity, like the light.
And again, bringing that hope, joy, peace, love, like those are the fundamentals. Like this is what, for me, churches are about. If we are not doing these things, if we are not cultivating these things, and if we're just about, you know, creating a place to just so that I can come and have my cookies and juice on a Sunday, because that's, again, self-gratification, then that's not what it's about. We're called to do
it,
more.
It seems like it's the solution would be so simple, like bring it back to the cookies and juice and the community and the nurturing, and less about, you know, trying to dictate these sacrifices.
Right. And even in our communion practices, right? Most people call the bread communion. No, that's the wafer. That's the bread. That's the body.
And is the experience of doing
the
it.
Communion is bringing everybody us and with God together. It's communing together.
Yeah. And I think that might have, I know for me, it's part of the problem is how it's taught to you. Like I remember preparing for my first communion and I don't think they explain it. Like, I remember like learning, like, because you're really young when you did your first communion. Like I think I was 7 years old. So it's all about the mechanics, you know, put your right hand on the bottom and then they put it in and then you take like this and you put it in. Don't chew it and don't learn that and blah, blah.
Don't play
they
that.
Certainly did not explain that Catholics believe in transubstantiation, because that would have been wild if they would have explained to that. Yeah, you put the wafer in your mouth and it turns into actual body of Christ. Yeah, I think that, yeah, they don't explain that. And they also, and I think it's the missed opportunity, I think, is that from the actual communion, this is, you're redoing that meal in a certain way. And you're doing it with your brothers and sisters and your community and all of these people who are there, in theory, who should be there to support you. I think that's gotten a little lost over time. At least it was in my church. Like, that was not the deal.
Well, they've become some, like, the social center, right? And the social club. And, you know, a lot of times people say the actual communing happens after the service. Like it's like Sunday dinner, you know? The dinner is the reason to get together, but the family bonding happens.
But the actual thing isn't the food. That's not the it's the premise more than the actual thing.
Exactly. And so where people have taken ownership of something that doesn't belong to them.
Yeah.
And churches aren't there for just Sundays. I was at one place in on the South Shore, and I had the city councilor come and visit and see what the city priorities and just to build relationship. And he's like, oh, I thought the church is only open on Sundays. I didn't realize, like, you have a community lunch and there's the Meals on Wheels. Like, this is a really vibrant place. Right. He goes, so why do you guys do all this stuff? And we're about bringing love and support.
That's the whole point.
To the community.
That's the whole point.
Oh. Oh,
that's interesting.
Oh, I thought it was just about this stuff.
But I also think, like, Quebec is in a very special place in terms of, like, their relationship with religion. Famously, the Quiet Revolution kind of turned a lot of this province anti-religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have a lot of problems that comes from that. We have a lot of benefits that came from it, I think, also. But I think I'm not surprised that this is what a lot of people think, because people here are so far, I think, from that whole...
Right. And there isn't that communal relationship anymore where everybody, you know, I remember I have some seniors going, well, I hated the day that it was okay to work on Sundays because that's not why people don't come, is because they have to work and that's sports and that's more of the priority. And I sort of said, well, if this is a priority, people are going to make it. You can take all those other lessons and all those other sports another day. And most of those kids aren't in high level athletics, and that's the only team. So I think it's what we're representing and how people are receiving us as a community. And when people are all together for so long, it gets very insular. And I think that's what churches have done.
So we've done it.
We have.
I think we've done it. So once again, everybody, thank you so much for listening to our little podcast. You can reach us by email at barebelievepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on our website, barebelief.ca, and you can search for us on Apple Podcast, YouTube, and Spotify. Just type Bear Belief and you will find us. Don't forget to like, subscribe, recommend, and we'll see you all in a couple of weeks. Thanks a lot, Jessica.
Thank you, Gabriel.